earlier this week, the state representative from Watertown, that area of the state, in a special election to fill a vacant state Senate seat in the 32nd District. Eric Berthel was elected to that state Senate seat. And in about an hour and change, he's going to be sworn in as the senator from the 32nd District. And we welcome the soon-to-be senator to CT on the Hill. Representative for a while longer, Berthel, welcome to CT on the Hill.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Congratulations on your victory, by the way.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Did you expect, because a lot of outside money was poured into this campaign, that it would get the recognition that it received?
Well, you know, we certainly anticipated that that this would be a the Democrats would view this as a tremendous opportunity to take control back of the state Senate. You know, we saw some remarkable gains for Republicans, not only here in Connecticut in November, but of course across our nation and certainly in Washington D.C. with the White House and with Congress. But I don't know that I expected it to have this high of a level of interest, and in particular, actually, even after the election, the amount of attention that's been paid to this is pretty mind-boggling.
I mean, the Democrats are claiming victory even though they lost. What do you say to that?
You know, it sounds like what Republicans did here in Connecticut many years ago when our caucus was much smaller in the House and much smaller in the Senate. So I think it's absolutely ridiculous. Special elections having just completed one, and it's the first time I had done that, are a unique political animal. They require just intense concentration. They require a remarkable group of volunteers and campaign workers to be behind you. They require precision execution of a good plan. A 10% margin in special election is a huge win. We never expected that we would see the same kind of clobbering, if you will, that Senator Kaine did of Mr. Cava in the November 2016 election with a 70-30% win. And I can tell you that we also never assumed that we would win this seat either. We went into this with the mindset that we had to put every ounce of effort and work hard every single minute of every day from the moment we were nominated as the candidate, the Republican candidate, up until the polls closed at 8 o'clock this past Tuesday. So nothing was taken for granted, but I think it's absurd that anyone would call a loss by 10% a victory. This was a victory for us. It was resounding, and we're very proud of our accomplishment.
Talking with soon-to-be State Senator Eric Berthel. Eric, you're going to be thrust into the Senate now. This state, as you know, having served in the House of Representatives, faced with many, many big issues. But at the top of the list is the state budget and the deficit. What do you say about that?
Well, look, you know, I, as you just noted, I've been in the House of Representatives. I just began my second term after an unopposed election in November, or re-election in November. The budget clearly is top of mind for everyone, not only the legislature, but it should be for every citizen in Connecticut. The budget is a disaster. What Governor Malloy and the Democrats proposed a few weeks ago is not sustainable. It's not good for Connecticut. It is going to, in the 32nd Senate District, is going to put nearly $11 million of new tax burden back on the towns. We need to take a complete wholesale look at every aspect of what we're doing. My caucus in the House of Representatives, along with our colleagues in the Senate, and now, you know, I've flipped that, or will later this morning, in terms of where I sit. But, you know, in the past 2 years, the Republicans in the General Assembly have proposed five sustainable, good budget alternatives. And these were not things, let's just be perfectly clear, these were not budgets that we sat in the basement of the Capitol and dreamed up on a whiteboard. These were budgets that were fully vetted by the Office of Fiscal Analysis, and they made sense. They provide good, they provided good options, the details of which are we would need days to discuss it. But they were good options, and they didn't continue this ridiculous amount of spending that we see going on in Connecticut, and they did not did not do these terrible changes to educational funding and municipal aid in, you know, very specifically in the towns that I'm now representing. You know, the town of Oxford alone has a $4 million hit and has a 90% reduction in their educational funding. I mean, how do you do that? How does anyone in good conscience make a proposal like that to any one town and put a this ridiculous new burden and a huge increase in the mill rate there on the taxpayers in that town and think that that's reasonable? It just doesn't make sense. And of course, what we heard from Ben Barnes was that towns with lower mill rates have a higher ability to pay. So the towns that historically have done a good job in managing their finances, they're meeting their bond obligations, they're meeting their pension obligations, they're doing things right, they're building budgets in these local towns that are respectful to the taxpayers, they're going to be punished because they've done a good job. Just doesn't make sense. Complete and utter ridiculousness.
Now, the state Senate majority leader, and obviously being a majority leader is an influential position, as you know, is Bob Duff, and you'll be serving with him in the Senate. He wrote an op-ed piece in The Hour, the Norwalk paper, the other day, lambasting the Republicans, and among the things he wrote was, Republican alternative budget ideas have been built on unattainable savings estimates and contain line item budget cuts that are offensive to state residents. That may be why the Connecticut public hasn't seen a Republican budget come up for debate, but has been treated instead to press releases and colorful PowerPoint shows. What do you say to that?
Well, I guess I would throw it back and ask my colleague in the Senate to provide some explanation as to where the governor believes that he will actually get $700 million in concessions from state employees, because that was part of the smoke and mirrors of the budget, of the governor's budget proposal. Senator Duff can go back and look at the proposals that were put on the table over the last 2 years by Republicans and see that they were not smoke and mirrors. They were not things that were unreasonable. None of the solutions, because of the mess that we're in, okay, are going to be pain-free. We all understand that, okay? But we have to be fair and balanced in how we spread out the cost of getting out of this situation that we're in. We have to be fair and balanced in where we apply that, those burdens at this point in time. It is not fair to go to back to small towns and take money out of those towns and give it to large towns when there's been years and years of bad fiscal management. It's just not the way you balance the budget.
How do we handle this pension situation? Because that really is the big issue that seems to be dragging our budget down.
I think that we are going to have to get to a point where we can sit down with all of the constituents of those pension plans, okay, and come to a compromise and come to something that is going to be reasonable and fair. We are spending, because of a lack of funding over many, many decades, a lack of properly funding our pension obligation, we find ourselves in this horrific situation where we have an unsustainable, we can't sustain the continued funding and what's required to keep the pensions healthy. So it's going to require a very serious conversation, but that conversation has to happen, and it has to have all of the constituents and all of the people that are affected by that. And their representation involved, and it's not going to be an easy process, but that is what is going to need to be done. We cannot tax our way out of this hole that we're in. It's just not possible. There'll be no one left to pay the taxes if we keep doing this. People are fleeing Connecticut. Corporations are fleeing Connecticut. Small businesses are closing. We have to provide incentives back to big companies to secure jobs here. We don't have good fiscal policy, and we need to fix that.
Do you think that's one of the reasons the opposing party, anytime there's an election, as we saw in the 32nd district, a special election, always tries to focus on Donald Trump rather than talking about their issues or what they've done to make the state better? Here they're bringing Donald Trump into a state election?
Well, look, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was clearly what my opponent, Mr. Cava, who's a gentleman, he's a good man, but his campaign was really misguided, in my opinion, to make this a referendum, to make a run for a special election for a state Senate seat, a referendum on Donald Trump. was really, I honestly don't know what they were thinking. Really the issue here is, if Mr. Cava had been sent to Hartford as a Democrat, we would have given the control of the Senate back to the Democrats with very little opportunity to continue the work that we're now able to do with this partisan tie in the Senate. And I think that really this was and the voters spoke loudly. This was really a referendum on Dan Malloy and what's going on with bad fiscal policy in Connecticut. So, I guess if I had an opportunity to ask Mr. Cava a question, it would have been, if you were elected to the state Senate, based on your campaign materials, what exactly were you going to do personally as a new state senator to stop President Donald Trump? And I'm not sure what the answer would have been, but that was what all of his campaign literature, that was what the entire campaign was based upon. And to add insult to injury, the Cava campaign accepted more than $50,000 in PAC money from an organization that's entire purpose is to downplay or to destroy what is the current administration in Washington D.C. And it's just disingenuous for them to do that. And by the way, the Wolfpack money was saying that they wanted to take big corporate money out of elections and out of campaigns. So I guess because it's a PAC and it's not corporate, it's okay to inject big $50,000 donations into a campaign. It's just the whole thing was really quite a lesson in irony.
Eric, have they given you committee assignments yet?
They have, actually, and I can tell you that my current assignments as the state representative included insurance, banks, and housing. And I will be staying on the insurance committee. I'll be staying on the banks committee. I will be adding the appropriations and judiciary committees and internship committee to my areas of responsibility, and I look forward with great excitement to all of those. Those are great committees that have very important roles in the work we do in the legislature.
Well, again, congratulations on your victory, and I know you'll be sworn in shortly. It's a big day for you. So, Senator, we're going to call you Senator right now. Senator Berthel, thanks very much for joining
us.
Thanks
so much, and thank you to your listeners and to the voters of the 32nd for their support. Anytime you need me to come back on, I'm happy to chat again, and thanks again for having me this morning.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.